Well, the reason I'm smiling from ear to ear is Kent just told me something funny. But as we come to you now for Steadfast Hope. As we come to you with Steadfast Hope, I'm Steve Lawson, Kent Stainback. We're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop in Dallas, Texas. We have a great study in store today for you. It's called Never Perish, and it's in John 17, verse 12. And as always, I want to begin by reading this verse. Encourage you to take your Bible, turn to it, this passage, John 17, 12. Jesus is praying to the Father night before his crucifixion. He says, "While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled." Kent, there's some, we would call this some big boy theology.
We only have 10 minutes. We
have this devotion. So, yeah, it's like trying to drain the ocean here in just a couple minutes. Let's just kind of walk through this. And Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, "While I was with them," referring to his disciples and those who would believe, really it points to down through the centuries. "While I was with them," specifically here, the disciples, referring to his earthly ministry, he says, "I was keeping them in your name." And that means to be kept secure, to be preserved in saving grace, that they would not fall away or lose their salvation. No way can any true believer ever lose his salvation, because Jesus is keeping them in the Father's name. And to be kept in the Father's name means to be kept in all that God the Father is. He says, "Which you have given me." And I guarded them. I guarded them from outside dangers. I guarded them from the approaches of the devil. I guarded them from the snares of the world. I guarded them from the lures of apostate religion. I kept them safe and secure. And he says, and not one of them perished, which is impossible. All of Jesus's sheep, he holds them in his right hand and he keeps them secure. But then he says, but, and he knows there's one exception to this. He says, but the son of perdition. And that's referring to Judas Iscariot. And he was not one of those chosen by the Father. He had not been given by the Father to the Son in eternity past. He was not one for whom the Son was praying and making intercession. And he will not be one for whom the Son will die the next day upon the cross. The son of perdition is Judas. And Jesus was not guarding Judas. And Jesus was not keeping Judas in the Father's name, because Judas was never in the Father's name to begin with. He was never in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus makes this clear distinction between the 11 disciples who were given by the Father to the Son, and now Judas, who was really a child of the devil. That's what it means, a son of perdition, a son of hell. Is what that means. And he says, so that, wow, and here's the reason, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. And this points back to a psalm of David written 1,000 years earlier, Psalm 41 and verse 9, in which this psalm says, "A close friend in whom I trusted, to whom I give bread, has lifted up his heel against me." That someone on the inner circle, close to him, to whom he will be sitting down and having a meal with, and Jesus will hand him bread in that meal. This is the one who has raised up his heel to betray me and to try to put me under his heel. Referring obviously to Judas. So Judas betrayed the Lord in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And Judas was held personally responsible and accountable for his unbelief. And yet he was never chosen by the Father and given to the Son. Just to end on a positive note, Kent, those who were chosen before time began and given to the Son, these will never perish. And Jesus guards them and keeps them secure in his grace. And so, Kent, the positive here is no true believer will ever fall away from Jesus Christ. So let's talk about it.
Well, there's a lot. As you said, Steve, talk about to our listeners how Judas was in the inner circle and looked like, for those 3 years, to the other 11, he looked like the real thing.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, and how you don't want to be a Judas. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Judas is a warning to every unsaved church member. Judas stands as a warning to everyone who claims to be a Christian, that there are those who claim to be a Christian who have never been born again. And Jesus speaks of them, and Judas is the epitome of Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it's possible to profess Christ and yet not possess Christ. Mm-hmm. It is possible for you to be a member of a church, but not to be a member of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And so you are self-deceived. Mm-hmm. You are unaware of your unconverted state. Mm-hmm. And you are just caught up in yourself, and you're caught up in what you've done to put you in right standing before God. Maybe grew up in the church, maybe serve in the church, maybe been baptized in the church, maybe give to the church, maybe bring your family to church. But yet you yourself, though you are in church, are not in Christ. And there's a real distinction there. And so Judas really stands as really a flashing red light, mm-hmm. a flashing yellow light mm-hmm. of caution mm-hmm. that examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. And there are those branches that do not bear fruit, mm-hmm. that are cut off and thrown into the fire, John 15:6. And Judas is exhibit A of that kind of person. And so it should cause every one of us to take stock and take inventory.
True.
I mean, where am I?
Right.
Am I in the Lord? Am I in Christ? Or am I just fooling myself about right. a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ?
So we have people out there that are listening, say, you know, as you said, I've grown up in church. I've been on all the leadership. I've been on the inside meetings, but I don't want to be a Judas. How can I make sure that I'm not a Judas? Yeah. What do I need to do to make sure I'm not a Judas?
Yeah. And let's suppose that they have prayed a prayer and supposedly committed their life to Christ. I mean, what more can I do? Well, you need to look in the mirror. And there are evidences of the new birth that John talks about in the book of 1 John. I mean, do you see a changed and transformed life taking place? Have you been given a new heart with now new loves and new affections from what you previously had? Do you long to be in the Word of God and with the people of God? Do you find that the commandments of God are not burdensome? Do you see a decreasing love for the things of the world? Do you see an increasing love to pursue holiness and to love God? I mean, these are evidences of the new birth. And except you be born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not just praying a prayer that gets you into heaven. I mean, it may have been a sincere prayer and you did come through the narrow gate, or it may not have been a genuine, authentic, repentant prayer And therefore you did not go through the narrow gate. So, Kent, this is just very sobering and very serious. And I know these devotions tend to be more edifying and uplifting, but nothing could be more edifying and uplifting than for you to come to the realization, you know, I've never really been born again. I've never been truly, genuinely converted to Christ. And for someone watching to commit their life to Christ and be saved, I can't think of anything more encouraging and uplifting for them as well as for us. So where are you with the Lord? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I pray that you do. I hope that you do. But need to make certain that you are in the kingdom of God. And except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. May God perform a miracle in your soul this day. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.